Hello and welcome to another episode, episode 20, as a matter of fact, a early milestone here in the Sal Licata Show podcast world, YouTube, podcast, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcasts, download, rate, subscribe, like, if you like it. If you don't, then keep it moving. You know, it was a fun night if you're a Knicks fan watching the Knicks just destroy the Philadelphia 76ers. But if you're an NBA fan, like, come on, man, what are we doing here? A 50-point, unwatchable game. There's no world. I know Embiid was hurt, but so was Ananobi. Like, there's no world, and this happens far too often, maybe not to the degree of a 50-point disparity between two professional teams. That just can't happen. This is not just a one-off, like, let's say, well, the Yankees beat, you know, the Rays 16-1 or something like that on an occasional one of 162 to have some blowouts. That's going to happen. Too many times with the NBA over too many years now, there is just a lack of competition. And without competition, you do not have sport. So as a Knicks fan watching that game last night and watching Alvarado go nuts, was it fun? Sure. I mean, it's like playing a video game on easy, which I used to not want to do. I mean, there was sometimes if you wanted to take your frustration out, you'd be like, all right, let me put Madden on. Let's go do it on easy level and just squash the shit out of the opponent. But that becomes boring. I wanted the challenge. I wanted to see if I could compete with a little bit higher than just the easy level on the video games. I don't even know if they still have that nowadays. I'm going back 20, 30 years when I was playing Madden. But point is, it wasn't real competition. And there's no fun in that. So yeah, watching your team smash the Sixers, who we hate Philadelphia, with or without Embiid, doesn't matter. But it was easy mode last night. That's not a real game. That's not real competition. Whereas the night before, even though the Knicks lost to the Pacers, that felt like a game that you want to watch. You're in it. Your emotions are involved in the game. Back and forth, tight game. Even though the Pacers aren't a very good team in the Eastern Conference, still there's hatred there between the two rivalries, what the Pacers have done to the Knicks the last couple of years in the postseason. And the game was competitive. They played hard. Both teams fought till the end. That's a game. Win or lose, obviously we'd rather win, but you lose it? That's sports. That's life. It's about competition. What we saw last night was not competition. And this is at the highest of levels. This is the NBA. This isn't some D League or G League or whatever they call it now. This is the high, like, this is the NBA. Too many times this has been the narrative, whether it's load management and teams not playing all out, whether it's injuries, whether it's just lack of overall competitiveness. Tell me a world in which even without Embiid out, that the Knicks are 50 points better than the Philadelphia 76ers. They're not, and nobody is. It's the NBA. The Knicks have 5 more wins than Philly. The Knicks go into the All-Star break here at 35-20. So, I mean, is it the best thing? No, but you take it. And playing good basketball for the most part over the recent stretch going in here after what looked to be a brutal run for them for a while where people were starting to really question things with the Knicks. So they righted the ship here, going to the All-Star break on a high note, smashing the Sixers. But the Knicks are 35-20. The Sixers are 30-24. And a 50-point disparity on the road, no less, for the Knicks. Can't happen. Imagine, now luckily Philadelphia didn't have that many fans going because it was all Knicks fans taking over the building. Imagine paying, I don't care if it's $10 that you paid to see that, from a Sixers fan perspective, you pay to go in that building and watch that game and your team loses by 50 points at home? That is atrocious. So the overall theme, from a Knicks fan perspective, okay, great. Knicks smash the Sixers, keep it moving to the All-Star break, get rest, get healthy, come out, try to get perfect, get your team situated and perfected going into the playoffs, which is what it's all about. From an NBA perspective, from a sports fan perspective, it's unwatchable. That's garbage. 50 point, that come on, man. That's easy level. They've got to fix that. It just can't, I don't know how, like, I don't have the answers to it. But if this continues to happen, and it's been happening for a long time with the load management and the 50-point disparities, or even the 20-point swings within the game, 20, oh, wow, a 20, they open up to a 20-point lead in the first half, 25-point lead, and then what happens in the second half? Team comes back. Okay, is that competitive? I guess, but it should never get to a point where it's that out of control where one team goes up 25, and then all of a sudden the next team comes back, and they, you know, have get out of the 25-point deficit in the second half. You want to say that it's just about the shooting in the league now because there's not a lot of defense. I don't have all the answers, but what I do know is, and I hate to reference the back in the day, but when I was growing up watching the Knicks in the 90s, and I'm sure the people that watched the Knicks in the 80s or 70s maybe felt the same way about the product, it was every basket, every possession mattered. It felt a lot more, even within the regular season. And those tight games, 86, 89, you know, 78, 82, whatever it may be, it was just more. And I'm not saying there weren't blowouts, because of course there were blowouts on occasion, but it just felt like each possession mattered more. There was true competition in the game. You just don't see that on a night-in, night-out basis anymore, specifically with the NBA. Without competition, why the hell are we watching? We're watching sports for competition. I want to see teams compete. I want to see teams compete. I don't want to see them resting players, sitting players, or even when they have their players going, getting smoked by 50. That is non-competitive. That can't happen, what we saw last night. Fun from a Knicks perspective, brutal from an NBA perspective. This is nothing new, but when you see that was one of the largest wins, I think, in Knicks history as far as the disparity goes. Literally 50 points. There were games where the Knicks would score 70 or 60 points. They won by 50. Come on. I mean, that's absurd. And I'm not blaming the Knicks. I'm blaming the NBA for the product. A team as good as the Philadelphia 76ers. Yesterday on the pod, we were talking about how I was looking forward to this game. Knicks Sixers. Sixers, one of the teams I think could be a threat in the East, which, by the way, I still think they can be. Edgecombe, obviously they got to get Embiid healthy. Maxey, like, they can be dangerous in the postseason. Do I think they'd beat the Knicks in a series? I don't, but I still think they can be dangerous in the East. And that's a team that's going to lose it by 50 at home? Come on, man. That's ridiculous. Now, Alvarado was special last night, which you love to see. He lit it up. He's not here because he could shoot, but he was shooting the three well last night. 8 of 13 from downtown, 26 points overall. But my thing with him, and by the way, do you give a crap where he's from, Alvarado? I don't care. I know everybody's getting into that. We talked about this yesterday, but you play like that, I don't care where you're from. Knicks fans are going to love that guy with his energy and effort. Forget the 26 points. It's about the intensity that he brings, the intangibles, the fight, the competitiveness. Defense, passion, fire, competitiveness, all those things from Alvarado. Not to mention, you know, you talk about the 90s Knicks. He's a guy that would fit right in. Where his skill set, he's not going to be the best scorer despite last night, not going to be the best shooter despite last night, but he's going to handle the ball well, and he's going to do all those other little things that can help you win ball games. That would fit perfectly on those 90s Knicks. I love Charlie Ward or Chris Childs. No, Derek Harper. Harper maybe more of a scorer than the other two, but still, all those guys played point guard well. Alvarado is going to excel at that. It's something the Knicks have been lacking in recent years, and they've been lacking the intensity, the intangibles, since the DiVincenzo trade, but they've been lacking a true backup point guard like Alvarado for a long time. So I love the move. Don't care where he's from. Is it better that he's from New York? Whatever. If it makes you happy that he's from New York, good for you. But he could be from wherever, and I would be in love with him because of the way that he plays the game. That is something that I love. Alvarado, ironically, in the Alvarado game last night, lighting it up with all those three-pointers, among everything else, he is the exact opposite of what was on display in large part in that game. 50-point non-competitive basketball game in the NBA. Alvarado's the opposite of that. Just an absolute beast, competitive every second that he's on the floor. So you love that from a Knicks perspective. One more thing from the game last night. And I don't know if you saw this, Bada Booms. Did you see who was the center without Embiid, who the Sixers center was? Do you know who that is?
Am I supposed to know?
I know. I'm asking you. Do you know who it is?
No, the rest are nobodies. Are you familiar with that? And the rest are nobodies.
No, I'm not familiar with that. His name is, because I didn't know, I never heard of this player before. His name is Adembona. Adembona.
No, I'm not familiar
Sixers
with
the had Adembona.
Adembona?
Adembona.
Was it hard? Was he hard in the paint? That's what I meant. I meant like that.
Hearing, I'm not trying to be like, sophomoric here, but Adembona, like I got Adembona in starting center.
Oh,
in my lineup.
Like Michael Hawk.
I don't know. Anyway, they need Embiid back. A Dambono? What type of name is that?
No,
come on.
He got a cool name. Yeah. A Dambona. He got a Dambona.
Exactly.
Now coming off the bench for the Sixers. A Dambona.
Exactly. What are we
great
doing
jersey.
Here?
Great
I mean,
jersey.
The guy's name. You would get that jersey if you were a Sixers fan?
If I was a Sixers fan, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. You would wear a Dambona jersey?
I had a Breshad Perriman Jets jersey, so there's no doubt.
Right. What kind of jersey you get? A Dambona. I got an
Dambona.
Can I
do one 3X a Dambona?
Yeah.
Right over there?
Yeah, exactly.
It was just, yeah,
all right.
It was
stupid. This is just, we're filling time. It's February. There's nothing going on. Couple of things here before we do our little Six with Sal, which we do every Thursday, and we got a very special one coming up later on in the show here. Nick Castellanos seems like he might be available after another Philadelphia team. The Phillies, you know, not really high on Castellanos anymore. Now, look, he's not a stud by any stretch of the imagination, but I always have liked his makeup, and he does play a position of need for the Mets. Now, I'm not saying I would go get Castellanos. Right now, he's under control with Philadelphia, or at least as we record this, he's under control with the Phillies. But they're not going to be able to trade him because nobody's going to take him for the $20 million. I wouldn't think. Maybe the Phillies pay down some of that $20 million before they have to release him. But let's just say, hypothetically, in the event that they release Castellanos, you're telling me he wouldn't be the perfect addition as insurance in case Carson Benj can't cut it in right field? Now, Castellanos isn't very good defensively, but look at the Mets' options right now for right field outside of Benj. And I believe in Benj, and I'm glad that the Mets are giving him opportunity, and I hope Benj takes that opportunity and runs with it. And we don't even have to worry about this. Like, this is all just meaningless preseason babble, talking about spring training and people getting nuts about roster moves and all that stuff in February, when really it won't even matter until July before the deadline, or August, or whatever it may be. But Castellanos, even in a miserable year for him and for Philadelphia, he hit 250, 17 homers, 72 ribbies. That is not bad at all. He played 147 games. Like, that is, you take that in a second. You could argue that he could be a starting right fielder for the Mets or DH a little bit. Now, maybe he'd want to go to a spot. Maybe he wouldn't want to come to the Mets. He'd want to go somewhere where he could be guaranteed more playing time. And if Carson Benj does what, you know, the Mets want him to do or expect him to do, then there's not going to be enough playing time there. But he played 143 games in right field last year. That is deep. He's the perfect guy. A guy who's, you know, going to be 34 this year. What is he right now? He's going to be 34 soon. His birthday's in March. So he'll be 34. He's getting older. Obviously, a little bit on the decline, his performance. But he's not going to cost you anything. Again, assuming that he gets released. Not going to cost you anything. You bring him on your team. You have a veteran presence. It appears for me on the outside that it was always a good guy in the clubhouse. I don't know. Maybe there's actual reporting on that. But he could fit right in, get some at-bats at DH, and in the event that Benj can't hack it, he plays right field. Who would you rather have? Castellanos in right field or MJ Melendez? Or Brett Beatty, who I don't think is going to be playing right field. Beatty was learning left field. Beatty's an infielder turned outfielder learning the position. You put him in left field seeing if he can learn it out there. So he's not really even an outfielder. Now you're going to have him learn another outfield position, and it is different. It's one thing if you take an outfielder like Soto and move him around from left where he started to right, now back to left. He's an outfielder. He's used to it. He's played both spots. And he's by trade, an outfielder. Beatty, by trade, is an infielder. When you're taking an infielder and having him learn the outfield, you don't want to be moving him around in different outfield spots. It's not just as simple as that. That doesn't add up. So I think the Mets are going to learn if Beatty can cut it or not in spring training in the outfield. But why even mess around with that when you could maybe go out there and get Castellanos? I don't know if Philadelphia would trade with the Mets, and I don't think the Mets are looking to take on that money from Castellanos at this point. But if he gets cut and you can get him on the cheap, I think that is a perfect add for this situation. And best case is Benj takes the reins and runs with it, and Castellanos is a DH or just a bench player, and maybe use him on occasion. And I don't think that that's bad, assuming that he would want it. So a lot of assumptions there. Do I think it's going to happen? No. But when I saw that yesterday with Philadelphia being, you know, kind of fed up with Castellanos, let's see the exact Remember, Castellanos was benched last year for saying something inappropriate to Rob Thomson after getting called, getting taken out of the game. There's bad blood with Philadelphia and Castellanos. So either way, it seems like that relationship is over. They don't, I think they, did they tell him, Bada Boom, do you have that exact report? Didn't they tell him to stay home? Like, they don't want him to come to spring training?
Well, yeah, they told him don't report.
Yeah, they told him don't report. Mm-hmm. So obviously that is coming to an end. It's just a matter of how it's going to come to an end. Philadelphia holding out hope that they can maybe trade him and get something back for him. But the reality is that's going to be unlikely at this point. When everybody else knows, why would you trade for him when you know you just got to wait this out and they're going to cut him? I would expect that to be the case. So not that I want the Mets to definitively go out there and get him, but that was the one thing I was saying even before the Soto moved to left field. If I look at the Mets and say, where's one area of weakness, a mild area of weakness, it would be my concern with not having enough insurance in the event that Benj can't take that full-time job. That was in left field. The same pertains to right field. And now, though, there's a clear right fielder potentially available, Castellanos. He was an all-star in 2023. I mean, that's not too long ago. So I think you could do a lot worse. And the Mets, Beatty, Tyrone Taylor, and MJ Melendez are, in my opinion, worse than Castellanos. That would raise the floor on the insurance policy for Carson Benj. You know, I saw a clip go around yesterday from my former partner that was talking about people in sports talking about politics. And BT, I have not talked to him about this. We text quite a bit, but I have not texted him about this yet. I just saw it yesterday where BT went on a pretty good rant about people in sports should keep their political views to themselves and politics talk, to, you know, don't talk about politics, which I happen to agree with. Like, I mean, I would say to each their own, you could do whatever you want. I just don't talk politics. But the main takeaway from that video for me was, I wonder who he's talking about. Somebody had to have triggered that response from BT. And maybe it could have been a lot of different people. I just saw the clip. I didn't hear the whole thing. Maybe it could have been a culmination of a bunch of people off of the Super Bowl talking about politics. But I'm not sure who exactly had the take. I don't listen to The Fan anymore. Nothing personal. It's just, for me, it's personal. I need to move on. Bada Booms, you have any insight or thoughts? Maybe you paid more attention to it than I have. I mean, I have some guesses who it could be, but I don't know definitively. Were there people either like in the national landscape or on Fan or somewhere in BT's where BT would consume it that would be talking? Like, did somebody say something politically? Like, I saw Sage Steele say something, but he's not talking about her. Who do you think, where do you think this is coming from?
Yeah, so the best way I thought in my head was, let's run down the suspect. So that's what I did in my mind.
Okay, do you have any, like, with definitive reasons, or it's just, like, you're just throwing people out there?
Now, there was nothing at first when I heard that. Nothing.
Like, did Boomer Esiason say anything about it?
And then I saw that. And then
Diddy?
I saw... Diddy? No, Diddy. Yes. So Boomer did say something yesterday, I believe, to the extent of respect the flag, respect the anthem. And that's more of the Olympics.
That okay, so that could... But that couldn't be it because BT did this yesterday. Right? Because did he do it Monday? I don't know. I don't remember the day. Where is it? Well, today's Thursday as we record this. I saw it yesterday, but did he do it yesterday or maybe Tuesday? I don't know. So I don't think it's that. I don't think it's those... You have any... Give me some insight into it because I know you listen to The Fan still on occasion or maybe you pay more attention to it. So you have any guesses as to who it could be?
Well, I know he's boys with Stephen A. And Stephen A does... But I don't think Stephen A is obnoxious about it. So I don't think it's Stephen A.
I guess my point is I didn't see anybody in the sports landscape, and I admit I don't pay attention to it as closely as I used to, certainly not the Fan perspective, but I didn't see anybody in the sports landscape give some kind of strong, definitive political opinion. So I'm not sure where he got that from or who said something that annoyed him, which is why I was trying to come up with guesses.
Yeah, I mean, besides the Boomer thing, and not to accuse BT of anything, we'd have to get his insight. Maybe we'll have a little...
I could just ask him about it, but
we could always ask him. Yeah, it might be better on the air.
Well, maybe you can't ask him. I could ask him. You say we. I could ask him.
Yeah, you're right. God knows BT, you know, my text.
He's not going to respond to you. Yeah.
my my texts and calls, like, that. The red button on the iPhone when he, but besides the point there, I mean, there's no chance, Sal, that, you know, I know you said something the other day and it wasn't even political. It was more of like in the middle. There's, you don't think he was talking about you, right?
No, because he said political. What did I say? What are you talking about? What did I say that's political?
No, you didn't really say anything at all. In fact, I think you were kind of on his side about it.
Whose side?
Well, the point he was making of keeping it out of sports. Yeah.
Oh, you're saying the Bad Bunny thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was not political. Like, people, I think
people made it political.
Oh, but that's people. That's not me making it political. I was talking about Super Bowl halftime show. Where is the political statement in saying I like Bad Bunny? That's political now?
No, I don't think it's political.
As a matter of fact, I didn't even, like, going in, I was indifferent about Bad Bunny. I said this the other day. I knew his song because one of them was on an episode of The Simpsons that my daughter would watch and replay over and over again. That was about a year ago. So that's how I knew about Bad Bunny. And then I knew he was a little bit into wrestling, but I couldn't even tell you. Like, actually, did he fight The Miz at WrestleMania?
I believe. I'm more familiar with his match with Priest.
I heard about that. I don't know if I saw that. But anyway, so I knew who he was. I wouldn't say that I was a fan or anti-Bad Bunny. I was giving him a chance at Super Bowl halftime show like I do at every Super Bowl halftime. I watch them. And I loved it. I loved the performance. But I don't know how saying that is political. So, no, I don't think he was talking about me. You think he was talking about me?
No, I don't think he was talking about you. But, Sal, let's not kind of...
He knows. If anybody knows I don't do politics, it's BT. You know how many conversations we would have about that during the breaks? I mean, we never talk politics on the air, ever. We didn't even talk it off the air because I don't do it. I don't talk politics.
In the worst case scenario where he was, and let's say worst case, you know, obviously not accusing BT of anything. In the worst case scenario where he is, though, BT versus Sal, WrestleMania is coming up soon. There's a huge potential there.
No, BT and I are still more tag team, potentially working on doing some other stuff together. We'll see.
Ooh, who would you guys face if you were a tag team at WrestleMania?
I don't, and then we'd have to have, naturally, you'd have to have the turn, right? Like the Mega Powers together or Strike Force or whatever. I'm just thinking of some of the tag team. Well, the Rockers when they were together, and then you have the breakup. Eventually.
Who's Shawn Michaels and who's Marty Jannetty?
Well, I mean, come on. I guess we'll find out, won't we? We'll find out. We didn't win the tag titles together as the Rockers, but apart, let's see what we could do.
They never won the tag titles?
So you have no insight? No, actually they did, but it was on a dark match.
I was going to say, I thought they did.
They did, but it was a dark match. I think that the rope broke, so they couldn't air it. There was some kind of story with
against
that.
Against the Hart Foundation.
Yeah, right. Yeah. They won, and then it got taken away. Was that in Michael's book? I might have read that in Michael's book, or it was a story that
Shawn Michaels has a book?
Oh, yeah. It was really good, too. I'd say about, was it 20 years ago? And it was probably when he was still wrestling.
Sexy boy.
So anyway, you don't have any idea. My initial thought, honestly, when I saw BT go on his rant, I thought maybe Boomer said something that, but that wouldn't make sense to me. So I didn't know. That was the only guy that I knew that maybe he would hear.
BT did put it a good way where it's, I'm sorry to run you over there.
Yeah.
Where it's about less of the having the political conversation, more throwing the jabs in. Like, I understand what he was saying there with, like, people will be talking about sports, nothing related to politics whatsoever, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. And then they'll throw a little, you know what I'm saying? Little shovel pass.
Right. And then he was also saying about people are doing it just to make friends. I should just text him. I really should just text him and ask him if there was anybody in particular that he was talking about. But no, me, nothing about what I said was political.
Yeah. No, I don't think what you said was political at all. Maybe it could have been Big Booms. Cause does that make me little?
Could have been Stephen A. Maybe I should have thought Stephen A, but those are his guys.
No, that's his boy.
Yeah.
And I know he's like on a is he not a very profound Boomer guy?
I'll let him tell that story. I'm not going to get into that.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we could have BT on for a little tell-all, a little red table talk with BT. and you're bald, so that works. Like, yeah. You guys are actually both bald. So.
Anyway, I just was curious, not curious enough to text him, but curious enough to bring it up here today, listening to that. Like, I was just like, I wonder who, and it sounded like maybe it was more than one person. Maybe he was thinking that I have no idea. Maybe he was thinking that the Bad Bunny thing, I mean, people did make it political. I know I did not. I don't know how many people touched on it. Like, did you happen to hear, did anybody, I know you're a big Evan guy. Did Evan talk about Bad Bunny on The Fan?
I actually didn't listen for that. I should have listened, though.
Did anybody on The Fan talk about the halftime show?
I
I'm sure Craig had to talk about it. You have no idea. Okay.
I have no idea. I think Craig probably mentioned it. If I had to guess, Evan probably was like raving about Bad Bunny. I could see Evan getting up and doing a little salsa, to be honest. A little bust
and
a move.
No, trust me. You don't want to see that.
He probably dances, if I had to guess, like Kermit. Like, you ever seen Kermit dance?
Yes, of course.
That's exactly what I picture in my head.
It's actually not bad. All right. You want to do a little Six with Sal here?
Yeah, there was something else I had to say about this, but I completely forgot. It was a good point. Maybe it'll come back to me.
You forgot it? You got to write things down if you're forgetting about it. But it was only 22. How are you forgetting things already?
I don't know. When you got to listen to you all the time, it's like it all sounds the same.
But you don't even listen.
Listen.
Okay, let's get to it. The third edition of Six with Sal. A little bit of a rule change here. Bada Booms had the idea to do the snake draft to start, which I think was a good idea. The problem is with only two people and three picks each, it doesn't feel like the snake draft is working. So let's just go straight up draft. Six with Sal. Top six things. Today's topic is going to be all-time WFAN shows. That means any show that has aired on WFAN doesn't have to be one that's been there for years or a mainstay Monday through Friday. It could be a weekend show. Ed Randall's Talking Baseball, Rick Wolf, if that's your thing, The Latin Beat, Sports on Wax, shows Bada Booms that I produce that you don't even know about. Ann Ligori, throw shows in there, whatever it may be. Any show that has aired on WFAN counts. Now, how do you want to do the first pick here? I won the last 2 weeks by majority consensus here. You were awful with the Super Bowl selections for the food. You want to flip a coin? Do I still just get the winner takes the ball here? Is that what we're doing?
Yeah, it's up to you. You want to toss your cap? Maybe let me go first this time.
No. Oh no, I'll take the first pick. Maybe I don't have a coin on me. Maybe starting next week we'll flip. But for this is something important to me. I'm going to take, I got to make sure I win this one of all the ones, the WFAN greatest show. So number one pick I have, you follow suit after that, okay? Okay. I'm going to go with, I think the obvious choice here, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, even you, Bada Booms, you would know where I'm going here. I think it's the greatest sports talk show of all time. It is Mike and the Mad Dog. That has to be the first pick. Any lineup that I'm building with any kind of fan Mount Rushmore, or in this case, Six with Sal, top five list, whatever, Mike and the Mad Dog will always be atop my list. So they are number one.
Yeah, that's Mendoza right there. Like, you're taking Mendoza.
Mendoza?
Away.
Get the hell out of here, Mendoza. That's Brady. Not Mendoza.
No, in this draft, why is everything always about Brady, Sal? Enough.
Mike and
no
the Mad
Dog.
Say comparing Mike and the Mad Dog to Mendoza is an insult to Mike and the Mad Dog. That's
no,
all I'm
saying. In the 2026 NFL draft, Tom Brady's not
in
there.
I got you. Okay.
I didn't say it's Arvell Reese. I said it's Mike. Yeah.
Easy with your Mike and the Mad Dog stuff. Easy.
This year, Mendoza's the first overall pick. In this draft, Mike and the Mad Dog is the first overall pick.
You're on the clock, Bada Booms. Pick two. What do you got?
With my first overall pick, maybe a little surprising to some people, currently the longest running show on The Fan, I'm going Boomer and Geo. All right, I love
it. Wow.
That's shocking.
Well, right out of the gate, a little bit, because I know how much you love Evan Roberts, so I can't blame you. You got to build a strong lineup here because you actually have to win one of these things. Go ahead, explain yourself. Sorry to jump you there.
It's got a lot of great moving pieces. It's got a lot of great characters besides Boomer and Geo. I love Jerry. I love Al, and especially the great Eddie Scazzeri, who's hanging it up at the end of the year. I mean, Eddie himself is a character with the drops. Whether it be a true story or jam it up the A-gap. So I walk around at work sometimes just saying, jam it up the A-gap, jam it up the A-gap, jam it up the A-gap.
You've got issues. And BT used to walk around at work like that saying jam it up the A-gap as well. All right. So Boomer and Geo, that would have been one under consideration for me, but now that is your first pick. Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm back on the clock here. Pick number three overall. Now, I'm going to do this. I'm going to choose to do. You can do it however you want. Shows that you think were the best, shows that you like the best. I'm doing it with shows that impacted me the most over the years. Me personally the most. And number two pick for me is going to be Francesa's NFL Now on Sunday. I love that show. Mike and the Mad Dog Monday through Friday, Sunday mornings during football season, NFL Now. Do you remember that show or no? You're too young to even appreciate it, really. Mike on Sundays.
I don't remember that, no.
It was so good. Driving around, going to get my betting ticket from the local bar, the little parlay slips. Mm-hmm. I used to listen to Mike, wherever, running errands, going to pick up food. It was the best to me. I loved it. During the postseason, during the Yankee playoffs, he would talk some Yankee playoffs in there. So for me, the second pick is going to be Francesa's NFL Now.
Yeah, was that pre-Odyssey app?
Yes.
Because I had a little transistor radio, but that might have been...
No, what about in your car? Oh, it was probably before you were driving. Whatever, yeah.
Yeah, I just started driving.
I used to have the radio. I had a radio in my room. You know, whatever, like a three-disc CD changer, but I had the radio on. That's how I would listen to Mike and the Dog back.
Like a boombox?
Yeah, I actually broke that thing when Clemens hit Piazza. Day-night doubleheader split. I went to the first game. Yankees beat the Mets at Shea. Doc was pitching for the Yankees. Game two came home. They went to Yankee Stadium. Clemens drills Piazza in the head. He's knocked out. His eyes rolling back in his head. I took a wiffle ball bat and smashed that stereo that my parents
bought me for Christmas. You were listening to your team in the World Series? Or were you trying to like sync
it? No, I was watching it, and the stereo just happened to be there, and I had a bat, and I smashed it with the bat. Wiffle ball
bat. So you took it out on the radio?
Yeah, and my mother's like, what'd you do? We bought you this thing. I know, it's really sad. I shouldn't
have. Is that your biggest freak out? In terms of reactions?
No, but it's one that I remember. I was really angry. Maybe the biggest freak out was Game 2, World Series 2000. Clemens throws the bat at Piazza. I was in the upper level there, the upper tier, second day. I'm telling you, Bada Booms, if I could have, I would have physically jumped out of the second level at Yankee Stadium and run onto the field and took things into my own hands as far as it pertains to Roger Clemens.
That have you ever met Roger Clemens?
No. And to this day, I used to say I'm swinging on him if I see him. Now, I'm not going to swing on him because I don't want to get in trouble. That's assault, brother. I'm not going to do that. But I would let him know that I was not a fan of that. And we would have it out verbally at the very least.
So we've done A-gap so far, and we've done boxes with Roger Clemens. So I'm going to, you know, parlay that into bad use of words there. My second overall pick, I think the greatest representation of New York Jet fans on the radio, Joe and Evan.
Oh, my God. That's your second pick overall. Dude, you can't help but lick Evan. You're obsessed with Evan.
Dude, Joe and Evan was, at least at the time, and I think still now, you know, if it was still going on, you had the older Jet, the seasoned Jet fan perspective, and you had the young, you know, giddy and spry and, yay, the Jets, maybe they can win this time. And then Joe, oh, bro, they're never going to win for me again. They're never going to win for you. They're never going to win for your son. Just get over it, bro. All right, it's over, bro. So I love Joe and Evan. As a Jet fan, it's just so – I live vicariously through them when they were on the air.
I mean, dude, you're obsessed with it. If you had to pick one, which one do you like better, Joe or Evan?
I don't want to say that.
No, I'm asking you the question. You have to answer it. What do you mean?
No, I don't want to do that.
Oh, you love them equally? You can't pick one or the other?
Yeah, no. Who do you love more, your mother or your wife?
My mother. Come on, it's not that hard.
Maybe that was a bad...
If you asked me Mike and the Mad Dog, I was going to say, I can't pick those guys. I mean, yeah.
I mean, is it not clear? You just had two picks and you took Mike.
I like the shows better. I don't think Dog Saturday Show was on par with Mike's Sunday Show. It's not favoritism. I love Mike and the Mad Dog, and I love Mike's NFL Now on Sunday. It was great.
Interesting. Did you ever print out a Bruce Springsteen set list?
No, I'm not a Bruce fan. I can't understand how you just can't pick one, Joe or Evan?
No, I don't think I can, so.
Look at you being politically correct. All right, so far, we each have one pick remaining. I have Mike and the Mad Dog. I have Francesa NFL Now. You have Boomer and Geo. You have Joe and Evan. My final pick, and this is a tough one here. Remember, like, all due respect to all the great shows, we're only picking three each. And I'm going my personal favorites. With the fifth pick in the WFAN all-time shows draft, and my final pick, I select Mike's On, Francesa's solo show. What are you shaking your head at?
You just picked Mike three times.
He's the best to ever do it on the fan. What do you mean?
So you picked Mike three times.
You didn't even let me explain. So this was all the first. Now, I was on. I was the last board op on the Mike and the Mad Dog show. Okay? So I'm saying also impacted me as a listener. I would call those guys. I got to work with those guys. Mike and the Mad Dog, unequivocally to me, the best show, best tandem to ever do it. Okay? That's number one. I told you how much I love the Sunday show. I used to call the Sunday show and talk about the Falcons. I couldn't do that during the week, because they would hang up on me. Nobody wanted to hear about the Falcons. Nobody wants to hear about the Falcons, period. But at least on the Sunday show, it gave me a platform to do that. And I remember calling Mike one of those Sundays after the Falcons and Vic beat the Brett Favre-led Packers in Lambeau, first time they lost at home in a playoff game. And before he even got on, he goes, Sal and Ron Konkama, how about those Falcons, Sal? Matter of fact, I should send you the clip. You could insert it here. Sunday show. Mike's on. You have to remember, Dog left. It was Mike, me, and Eddie Erickson was the producer. Matter of fact, Mike, the first time I was on the air, outside of doing like a couple of, you know, Christmas Eve shows or New Year's Eve shows, Mike let me fill in and do the picks instead of Dog, the over-unders. I did that. Me. I did that with Francesa on the Fan. It went from Mike and Chris doing the over-unders to Mike and me doing those over-unders. I'll never forget that. The Sal special that he created where I give a football pick on Fridays. And then doing those over-unders with him and the experiences that I had with him. Come on, going down to Port St. Lucie, Super Bowl, all that stuff. And I love the show. So, yeah, Mike's on. I'm sorry. I mean, name me a there were some considerations there. You know, Beningo maybe on the overnight. Boomer and Gio would have been a consideration. You took that. I'm going to go. You know, Boomer and Carden or Imus, those were great shows. But for me, I was more of a sports fan. So Imus with the politics taken out of it. And Boomer and Carden was more of just an entertaining morning show. So I'm sorry. I don't care if you like it or not. I'm going Mike's on. So I got Mike and the Mad Dog, NFL Now with Francesa, and then Mike's on is my third pick.
I'll tip your hat for this one thing with Mike's on. One of, if not the best jingles in fan history. We got to do a jingles one, too.
Mike's on. Yeah, okay. There you go.
It gets you sports any will and can. It's like that gets stuck in your head. You're done for the rest of the day. Joe and Evan, another great jingle there. Boomer and Geo doesn't have a jingle. Very disappointing.
Didn't think about that, I guess. Okay, what's your final pick?
So, Sal, I got to be honest. Like, everybody can kind of tell what's going on here. You know, you're the humble guy. You don't want to do it. I completely understand. I see what I have to do here. And, you know, I don't think it's a bad choice at all whatsoever. These guys deserve their flowers after, you know, how things ended. My third and final pick, Sal, I'm going Boomer and Carton.
Oh, my God. Did you have to be a dick about it? I mean,
Richard, not at all.
I'm not knocking the pick, obviously, but come on, the build up to it.
I don't see anything that I did
I'm
wrong.
I'm surprised you didn't go Carton and Roberts with how much you lick Evan, for goodness sake. I mean, good God.
Lick Evan, no diddy there, Sal, but I got to say Boomer and Carton. I mean, one of the funniest shows, if not the funniest radio show to ever be on the air. Again, with the characters, though, because there you go again with Al, Jerry, and Eddie. Maybe I'm just a really big Eddie Scazzeri fan, and I had to pick Eddie twice.
You could be a big Boomer fan.
Yeah, no, I definitely like Boomer. Not for the Jets. That's a completely different story.
Oh, Boomer, you're terrible, bro.
Boomer. But I do love hearing Boomer's Rangers opinion. I will say that. Everybody kills him. They're always on top of him. And back in the day with what's-his-name made the song about Boomer, nobody cares about hockey.
Yeah.
What was his name? I apologize for...
I have no idea. You talking about Al?
No. The guy they used to have in there, I don't know if he was a producer or whatever. He'd make the songs.
I have no idea. Somebody would make the songs?
Yeah. Is it Tom or something?
Oh, Izzo? Digital?
Tom yes, Izzo? Yes. Yeah.
I didn't know he made songs.
Izzo.
All right.
So another anyway, drop right there.
So
I want to finish my Boomer point.
What? Go ahead. What was it? Are you drowning on? Well, get to it. What is the
point? No. Everybody kills Boomer about hockey, but I think Boomer's at his best when he's a fan. And when he's talking about the Rangers and stuff, it needs to be done more. So this is me going on stand right now. More hockey, Boomer. More hockey.
All right. So you love, who do you love more? Boomer, Joe, Evan, Carton. You got to rank those four.
I have to?
Yes. Yeah, because I'm asking you to do it, just as a tag to this piece.
I have to do this right now.
Yeah, come on. Do it.
Yeah, but Sal, you understand what...
To answer the question, it's not that hard. Boomer, Carton, Joe, Evan, rank them. 1 through 4.
All right, so Joe and Evan, 1A, 1B, Boomer, Carton, 1B, 1B. All right?
What a cop-out. All right, so I have Mike and the Mad Dog, Francesa, NFL Now, and then Mike's on. You have Boomer and Geo, Joe and Evan, Boomer and Carton. Put them up. Let's see who wins week 3 of 6 with Sal. All right, before we say goodbye here, I've been obsessed with Landman. I've been, oddly enough, like I used to do the reads on the Fan when Landman and Paramount Plus was promoting it, but I didn't watch the show and I heard Boomer talking about it. I was like, I got to get around to that show. It sounds pretty good. Oh my God, is the show great. I just finished the 2 seasons, binged it over the last few weeks, and it has a little bit of everything. The Texas aspect, that type of lifestyle, the cowboy lifestyle, There's badassery in it. There's beautiful women in it. I mean, Ali Larder, not that I think she's the most attractive girl, and I'm honestly, I didn't even know who she was before this. I've seen Varsity Blues, RIP James Vanderbeek. But in this, she is incredible. Not only incredibly sexy, but also just incredible. She makes the show. Billy Bob Thornton, is that his name? Billy Bob Thornton? Incredible. So the whole, yeah, the whole show. You Bada Booms, you got to check it out. I don't know if you're too young to appreciate it, but there's plenty of sex appeal. There's plenty of badassery. There's some humor. It's just the show has a little bit of everything. I cannot wait for season three. You've heard of the show, obviously, but you have not watched it.
Landman is getting more plugs than BT and Sal. So Landman must be great. We've talked on this show, Sal, about Landman more than we've talked about your former occupation here.
Well, why would I talk about my former occupation? I don't understand it.
No, I'm just saying. Landman must be great.
What did you think I was going to pick? You thought I was going to pick BT and Sal?
No, you like the little radio tease I did at the end there. Like I was hyping it up. Like I was going to take it and take it.
What? Yeah, I know. I know what you did. No,
Well, you mentioned it has a lot of sex appeal, but Sal, every morning from around 7:30 to 9, I get all the sex appeal I need. Right here in front of me.
You've got major issues. All right, check out Landman, will you?
What is it on?
You'll learn something. Paramount Plus. Come on, you should know that.
Paramount Plus. Hulu, Paramount Plus. Are you familiar with that?
No.
You're not familiar with a lot of things, I'm coming to realize. Maybe it's the age gap here.
I think so.
You didn't know about the Baltimore accent?
Yeah.
You never saw the guy singing? I even spliced it into the clip. Bada Booms. He was doing Tyrese, and he was singing it in the Baltimore accent.
No, I don't know what that is. I saw the clip. I still don't know what that is. Watch Landman. You'll maybe learn something from it, all right?
You know what's on Paramount Plus?
What?
A Bar Rescue with John Taffer. Oh, what a show.
Okay, I'm not familiar with that show. All right, that does it for us, episode 20, and I'm not going to check it out because I just don't have time to. Although now that I finished binging Landman, maybe we could get into it. That does it for us. Back again tomorrow with a new episode. Episode 21 to finish out the week, going into the weekend, NBA All-Star break and all that stuff. Spring training going on. So we'll have some fun with you tomorrow on a brand new episode. Download, rate, subscribe, wherever you get your podcast. That does it for us. Bye.